So this is the last day of our class, our course. Of course, a lot of the devotees who are here the first and second day are having other engagements now, so it's been a little bit difficult in being consistent. I see new faces every day also. So in the corner here, we have Russian translation. Anyone who needs a Russian translation? It's here. Go now. I think our Spanish devotees are not here now. We need Spanish translation? Croatian translation? Do we need Croatian translation? I don't think so. Yugla, Russian translation there. So, just to update us, what we've been discussing in this course is how to die daily. So this course is titled like that. We said, die daily. Or Divya Mara, how to develop divine madness. We are looking at the fact that to be able to go back to the spiritual world, we have to become like the residents of the spiritual world. We have to have the consciousness that will allow us to remain in Vrindavan. And so the best way to understand how to go somewhere is to connect with those who have been there or who've come from there. The best way to understand what is needed is to inquire from those, see, directly. The best way to know how to serve is also to inquire. Watch the examples. Take close notice of what successful people do to become successful. So who is more successful than those who are totally, fully servants of Krishna without any false ego, without any tinge of sense gratification? And so just 5-minute summary. So we went over in the class, Chiranjivas, those who never die. We looked at certain personalities in our Vaishnava culture who never leave the material body or depart as normal conditioned souls do. We looked at cases of those who, there's Chiranjivas, we looked at Mitta Sanjivani, pastimes where someone has left a body but was brought back to life. And then we're discussing just some classical passing pastimes. Where I think for our translation is best if you in the back or on the side. So, anyone else needs a Croatian translation over here? So, in these pastimes, we see some really significant themes, some very important lessons for us to reflect on, to learn. And so we're saying how these individuals, entities lived. It's important. How they left the body is also important. And it's really to help us to focus more on Prabhupada's statements. And it's one wonderful statement in Bhagavatam, first canto, that human life is how to die like Bhishma. That means how to have victory, how to be totally focused with mind, body, and words, be fully absorbed, the darshan of the Lord, thinking only of service of the Lord, not being distracted by anything else. We realize that Krishna consciousness is having the perfect mindset. Krishna consciousness is having no other priority other than being a fully surrendered servant of the Lord, being a slave of the divine couple. And Krishna consciousness means that we have nothing that's unfinished. We have to come back here, you know, to work on. So, of course, we looked at our own selves to see how much the things we're doing every day are giving support to our ultimate success. How many things we're doing every day is saying yes to our going back to Godhead? How many things we're doing every day is allowing us to be in this world but not fully of it? And so we looked at all of the problems we had to experience of everybody downloading all of their problems, some of their greatest problems and concerns and anxieties, to share it with their partner. We did this to help us to, first, to hone in to issues of complexity, of confusion, disturbance, disappointment, gloom, frustration, anger, whatever. And then to evaluate those with how they would relate if we were leaving the body or had left this body. So we had devotees do a homework assignment of considering that they had left the body and now hearing people speak about them. We asked the devotees to consider what good things you would love to hear people say about you if you had left the body. And now, what you have to do so that that becomes a reality. And so different devotees shared that. And maybe we can have one sharing like that in this category today. And then we asked devotees to now, everybody go to Vrindavan. But we're going to all have only 1 hour to live. To consider hypothetically, if we were living in Vrindavan, and we were now there to pass, and we found that we have only 1 hour before we have to leave this body. And we asked the devotees, considering that you had only 1 hour to live, what message would you want to send to important people in your life? 3 important people. There is someone with you who's going to be there with you until you pass. That person is there to deliver a message for you on your behalf to 2 or 3 very important people that you want to send a final message to. So this was to help us to look close at, hey, you know, what are we waiting for? That if there are things we need to resolve, we should do it now. If there are people we need to say things to, we should tell them. People we need to show our appreciation for, we should do that, because we don't know when we may not have a chance, you know, to do it. If there are certain things that are important priorities that we've been putting to the side, we need to put them forth and act upon them. So it was just a way to, again, look at what is going on in our lives. What is important? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be changed? What we need to add to, what we need to do, you know, take away, etc. And our homework assignment was to write a letter to someone who is deceased, someone who had left their body, that we had some type of relationship with. And now we want to send a message to them. So in the first case, second case, we were leaving the body, wanted to send a message to those who were going to be left behind. Now we want to send a message to some personalities who were having an association with us, hopefully someone who is close to you, who you want to send a message to them, or something you would say to them if you had a chance to be with them once again. Russian translation, Prabhu, over here. So that was our assignment for today. Now, before I start into the day's work, Are there any questions from 2 days ago? Does anyone still have on mind? Hmm? One sec. Where's the mic?
Sometimes you say having a slave mentality. I'm just wondering what the difference between slave and servant may be.
Slave and
servant.
The servant, a good servant, is very dedicated, very thoughtful, very eager to carry out his or her service. Slave, because in a material sense, is the worst situation you can ever think of, where someone is just at the mercy of another by force, by unfortunate circumstance. But slave means too, yes, you're fully under the control. And so to be the slave under the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the essence and totality of love, who is the epitome of all protection, who is all-knowing, and who possesses all of the opulences in full, is the greatest position. Because it means that all is available for you because there's no obstacles of any egocentricity, any self-centeredness. Because even the servant sometimes is still thinking of his or her payment or boon or position, is still having so much sometimes the separation and wanting to do something for something. So we know that the gopis are even enjoying more than Krishna, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that they have no separate interest. So divine slavery means you are captured and bound in love. You can't escape from the love. Anywhere you run, the love is there, reaching out, grabbing you, reminding you that you are owned and you are eternally entrapped. Any other question? Yes.
It is a question about a negative way of thinking. How much is important that person resolve all this question in the moment that leaves body, all this unresolved question in different relationships?
It's important that one resolves all unnecessary attachments. It's important that one doesn't have any lingering desires to experience any type of sense gratification. It's important that one isn't still trying to be Krishna rather than serve Krishna. Keep in mind, it's not really that Krishna is just some autocrat forcing us to be imprisoned in the body again. Even that Yamaraj or Devas or system are forcing us. They're just arranging according to our quality. According to what we're thinking, doing, wishing, it adds up to something. And then they facilitate. Certain kind of consciousness needs certain type of senses and certain kind of body and certain environment to experience and express that consciousness. And so when we have a consciousness that's totally anti-material, it's transcendental, then a physical body is not necessary or is not needed to accommodate such consciousness. It's like the kind of crime that we commit then determines the kind of sentence we get, the prison suit, and the experience connected with that sentence. So by our actions or by breaking the law, then we get chastised, we get put into incarceration. So it's actually our own actions that then produce something. So the kind of actions and thoughts we have is going to produce experiences. For most people, that experience is going to be another material body, another existence in the material world, to continue trying to be the master of of limitations. The master and thinking that there's something really special about sense gratification. Any other question? Mm-hmm.
You know, most problems arise because we know that there's relativity in this world. There's something right and then there's something wrong. We see that. How are we supposed to rise to the absolute level that God looks at everything and see everything as good? Because that's where most problems lie and difficulties begin.
Well, that's where the Shastra, the scripture, and bona fide sadhus and bona fide acharyas come in. They help us to understand what is right at the right time. They help us to understand this desha kalapatra in terms of the circumstance, with the place and time and circumstances. Because it's not just a matter of something being right, it's according to, sometimes according to situation. And rightness for us is that we are beyond just ordinary dharma, ordinary, see, morality, that we're looking at what will be pleasing to Krishna. And so there's the whole science of Krishna consciousness help us to understand that better. By quality association, it becomes easier and easier. Because quality association doesn't just tell us something. That's secondary, but it shows us. Helps us to see what is proper action. The sadhacharya, the good behavior, proper behavior. We watch that and then we can follow suit. Okay, if we have time at the end, we'll take a few more questions. Let me just read this little... Someone sent this to me sometime back. It's just a little prayer, but sort of interesting. Because as we try to be less bombarded by any duality, we go beyond just our own likes and dislikes and wants. We try to really place ourselves at what is needed for our growth. And so we go beyond the karma kandik or the platform of mishra, karma mishra, bhakti, yoga mishra, jnana mishra, etc. I asked for strength and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I ask for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I ask for prosperity, and God gave me brains and strength to work. I prayed for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I ask for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I prayed for favors and God gave me opportunities. I asked for humility and God gave me experiences not to be proud of. I asked God to grant me patience and God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed. My prayer has been answered. I'm not sure. Someone from South Africa sent this to me. It was just an attachment. Maybe later I'll try to find out. But interesting how our wants and needs are often quite different. And as we were saying, even sometimes our suffering can be extremely helpful to help us in more of the dying daily. Because it is true that we do normally learn more when we suffer or when there's a problem. We do normally feel less satisfied in this body and in this world. And in orthodox associations when something is kind of, you know, in disarray, we do scrutinize life a little deeper. We do reflect, you know, a little more intensely. And those are moments and times, if possible, we can use it to accelerate more in our devotion. but trying to cry out more, you know, to Krishna. How many of you, you know, we had asked before, how many of you had the experience of seeing someone, you know, leave their body in front of you? And several of you, you know, raise your hand. Can maybe one of you or so, because we time is very short today, can maybe one of you, if you like, just share with us what realization that you get, if you get any, from seeing that person or several persons leave where there's life, and then the soul is gone. Can one of you who raise your hand, can you just share with us very briefly what realizations that you get, you know, from that experience? Arti, can you share? Give the mic to your hand. Maybe just, you know, was it a relative or a friend?
Actually, in the last 2 years, I did some nurse assistants. And it's funny because my mom passed away 3 years ago on this day, actually. And I never really experienced any death before that so much. But when I was doing nursing, I experienced two or three people leaving their body. Like, pretty much, I saw them at the end, and then one person, I was right there when they passed away. And my realization with that was how amazing, I mean, how it's just so much a part of life, death, and how it's just kind of an extension. And in one sense, it's so quick. It just, there'll be so much suffering, like, just before death, but when it actually happens where they leave the body, it's like, it's just so fast and so, just so part of life. So that's my experience.
Okay, so her experience, she's doing some nursing, and so often caretakers, especially if you're dealing with critical care, you see people pass, you know, almost every week, sometimes every day. In major hospitals, you know, there's death every day. And it's just like that, you know. I mean, people are suffering, and of course, according to the disease and the situation. But moments before, you know, the soul leaves. I mean, life is there, and usually some struggling according to, you know, the chronic disease or the person's consciousness. And then, you know, the soul is gone. And you look and you see, wow, it really is. Body is really just a garment. And the person is, you know, entity is no longer there. Something else she wants to share.
And one more thing that I realized with a lot of the patients was a lot of it had to do with the breathing at the last, like where their breathing started breaking down, and that's when you knew they were going to go, you know? I thought that was really interesting how so many was similar, like the breathing would get really heavy and really like they really couldn't breathe and be like a real struggle like that.
Okay. Anyone else who's seen a couple of cases or situation of somebody leaving their body? Mangala? Bring it up, Mangala.
I can share something. It's when you asked the question, I was thinking more of someone leaving in front. Say, usually the idea is maybe someone being sick or in a bed in front, but the experience I had was a little bit different. When I was about 14 or 15, I was at a friend's house on one street, and then we were sitting in one room, and it was late at night, and we heard like this car skid and a big crash. And then we looked outside, and we couldn't see where the car had gone. And then we looked to the house, one house across the street, and the car, which was like a 4x4, one of those whatever kind of cars they're called, four-wheel drive cars, had smashed into the house. And there was another car that was in the street, and this was like a white classic car, maybe some 1960-something model.
One second. Are we okay with the Russian translation?
Oh.
How are we doing?
Speaking too quickly, yeah. I'll slow down. Sorry. Okay. Thank you, Gurudev. And the white car in the middle of the road, the lights went on, the driver stumbled out and fell to the ground, obviously intoxicated. And in the other car, which was embedded in the house, we ran to that car to see where the person was, but there was no one in the car. So we couldn't figure out how he could have gotten out so soon. And then we realized that the windshield wasn't there anymore. And we looked under the car, we looked to the side, we couldn't find anyone. And then we looked, and in the house, this person's body was stuck in, it had flown out of the windshield and was stuck in the house. And the realization that I got at that moment was how temporary and how fragile these material bodies are. I mean, at that specific moment, it seemed almost like a cartoon or something, you know, someone's body embedded in a house. It was so kind of like unreal. And I realized at that moment how the body, in some senses, is not, it's just not, not that it's not real, but how temporary and how fragile it was. So that was a confirmation of that at that moment.
Okay. One more person, anyone else? It is amazing, though, how in modern times, so many people have never seen death. And so it's still really conceptual. Although we know everything dies, but to see another human die, so many people haven't, at least in the Western world. Other parts of the world, people see death much more often. It's very frequent. People do not live as long. It's not covered up as much. Sometimes even a body can be in the road, you know, for a while. But in most of our countries, we don't see that so much. And when it happens, you know, it's kind of rushed away, or hospitals, they close the door, they bring the sliding stuff so nobody sees. They take the body out sometimes when, you know, people are not watching. And so even as devotees, often it's still, rather theoretical. Mm-hmm.
Upendra Prabhu, he was one of the first devotees who came to Australia and to start the movement, and he came later to leave his body, and he had cancer, so for quite a few months he was... Upendra? Yeah. And the devotees were looking after him for quite a few months. Everyone was on a roster cooking. Towards the end, my husband, a lot of men were staying with him all night to make sure he had somebody with him. And I was very busy with small children, and I was lamenting how I'm not a very good devotee. Sorry. how I'm not very upfront with service. And this particular night that he left his, I'd never been up there to the house where he was, but my husband was on so that night. What's wrong with the microphone? So I thought, and my husband was really tired. He had been working hard, and I thought I would go and support him to keep him awake. But when I arrived, there was a Maharaj there, and there was quite a lot of senior devotees there chanting with him, and it was towards the end, and I had no idea. So I was only there for an hour, and then I went in and stood at the foot of his bed and prayed to see him suffering. Just wanted relief for him, and I thought, it's been through his pain, and please, Lord, take him now while he's in the company of the devotees. And right at that time, he started to leave his body. And I was so elated that I could pray for him at the time of his death. And I felt that I'd actually done, like, a really good service for him. And then he had a little straw mat, which was like the type you buy here in Mayapur, and had his name on it. And it said Upendra, and it hit me really hard that it didn't belong to him anymore, and it was just a simple straw mat, and how we have that nature to possess even a simple little thing, what we call is ours, but it's just not ours.
So Upendra used to be one of the servants of Srila Prabhupada, and as Siddhi was saying, he was one of the early devotees who who helped to start things or preached in Australia. And so he became quite fatally, chronically ill, came back to Australia, stayed there for some time, and then he left the body. And so here was an instance where devotees were there, and they were chanting and praying on his behalf. And so it was quite a glorious passing to be able to be in such association. A couple of years ago, when I gave the course on community, strengthening the Vaishnava community, some of you have seen in my also Spiritual Warrior 4, where I emphasize certain points of community, you know, development, and we emphasize how devotees should associate in such a way, considering the people that they're with may very well be the people that they may leave their bodies with. And that means that, one, it is a reality that our present consciousness is a product of our associations. Our immediate associations are most important. It is very significant that as we leave the body, we want as much love, prayers, and guidance and encouragement and protection as possible. It is the fact that the quality of how devotees are thinking about us can have an effect. It can play a significant role. And it is the fact that the relationship that we have with such people can put our mind more to ease, help us to focus more, help us to internalize things more. You know, just imagine you're leaving the body and you're surrounded with people who you had a lot of issues with. Somebody who took your wife, somebody who owes you money, someone who you know is, you know, a big cheater, a big liar. And they're trying to help you in getting focus. It's not the same as being around people who you're very much inspired with their faith, their devotion. Being around people who you literally find solace in their association, in the physical, in the waking. So surely, when you're making that transition, even more important it is to have or be in an environment that is conducive to just focusing on returning home. And so again, every moment by our associations and community, we're creating a certain environment. It's going to add or take away from someone's own acceleration. And that's also why it ain't really so wonderful to be living by yourself. Sometimes devotees want to live in isolation, and they may be more peaceful, so-called, but not necessarily more spiritual. Because in being spiritual, it's about sambandha, it's about relationship and association, services, being the servant of the servant. And just being in avoidance for lack of challenges and lack of interactions, that's not, it's more like moksha or, you know, more like nirvana. We want to go far, you know, far beyond that. So it is in association that we get a chance to test our strengths and our weaknesses. It's in our association that we get a chance to get help. We get a chance to help others. It's in association we get a chance, you know, do a lot of work. Unless we have those experiences, our devotional creeper doesn't get the proper nourishment, the proper strength. Okay, so as we end this kind of discussion, can we have one example in each case? First, we have one example, one last example, of someone giving us a report of being at their funeral and what things they would feel comfortable in hearing people say about them. So for our newcomers, you're at your funeral, but you've already passed, but you're listening and being able to also understand what people's minds are. But we're asking, what are some of the things that you would really be comfortable with in hearing someone say about you? All right? And of course, the idea is, as you think about that and as you share that, what needs to be put in place? What needs to be done? What do you need to work on? So that the kind of things that you want to hear, you will definitely hear, and you will hear even more. Okay? Someone who hasn't shared in that area can share? Let's see. So, what, did you share in this area? Bring the microphone. This is an example of reflecting and hearing
Hare Krishna.
What some of the devotees are saying about you, what you meant to them, what you offer to community.
So, Bhakta Silva brought many fallen jivas. Hare Krishna. Bhakta Silva brought many fallen jivas back to Krishna consciousness. He was a great devotee, great preacher, who never deviated from the path. And he did great service to Srila Prabhupada by educating others and showing by example how to be Krishna conscious till the end. Thank you, Manju.
Good. Go Premananda Harimo. Okay, let's have one last example of someone who is in Vrindavan. You have 1 hour before you leave the body. You are in association with someone who you're going to give a message to deliver that message to another person who is very important to you. There's someone who's very important in your life who you're never going to see again because you're out of here. You're leaving the body. But you have a chance to send a message to this person who you're never going to see again in the physical. But this individual has impacted on you in such a way that you want to say something to them. You want to send a message. Their existence was important to what they offered to you in association. And so you would have preferred to see them, but you're not. And so there's an envoy, there's a messenger who's going to take that message and now give it to this person. Okay? Mother, you can share? Okay. What's your name again?
Sundari.
Rasa? Rasa
Sundari.
Rasa Sundari has some special person who is very dear to her in some way, and she's not going to see that individual again, but she wants to send a special message. Was that person, Rasa Sundar?
What is? What do you mean? Is he still in this world, or is left?
Yeah, the person is going to be still in the world, but you're going to be gone. So you're leaving them a message, a message that you want them to have. You didn't get a chance to see them, you know, before you left the body. But there's a message that you want them to have.
I always think that sometimes I remember my children in school. They will be beside me when I leave my body, and many a times it happens that I'm not when I'm teaching, due to the many circumstances around, I'm not able to many messages I want to pass to the students because of the time limit and many things. I feel like not able to pass through them what I learned from my Vaishnava leaders, but time is short, and then there are other academic the integrity to be done. But when I feel at least when my students or my children are around me when I leave my body, I will request them to at least with that intensity when I will say to them, at least I will take to the heart that they should always take to the spiritual path of Krishna consciousness, and always try hard to chant their rounds, and chanting of the holy name will save them from all difficulties. And you always remember the Lord intensely and never forget Him.
So in that case, as a teacher, she would particularly like to send a message to some of the children to encourage them to be more serious, to be more focused, to take full advantage of the experiences, opportunities they're getting to go on in their Krishna conscious. So in all these cases, this is the second, third, fourth chance. So we want to do that now. We want to do all of those things that would be very important if we were leaving this body. All those messages to special people. Okay, we have chance to honor their specialness by what we say and how we interact with them now. What we resolve, what we tell them, how we show them our appreciation, how we take advantage of the association. So remember, our homework assignment 2 days ago was writing a letter to someone who has already passed, where in this last case, you were passing and you were sending a message. Now in this case, someone else has already passed and there was something incomplete or something you would have wished you could have done or said, or something additional you would have wanted to express. So let's look at a case, someone who impacted upon our lives, who if we had chance to speak to them again, or if we had an open line to send them some communication, knowing they would receive it, what special message would we send that particular person? Special message we'll send to someone who has already gone on. Something that we could have said to them, but we didn't get a chance, or something we want to say to them even more. Something we want to express based on what has happened since they have gone, our realizations, something that we like to share with them, given the element of time, what transitions it has brought, realizations, understandings. Okay. You're raising your hand? Or you're... Okay. Is it more than one page?
Yeah, I'm going to read rather big.
Can you just summarize it for us? You know, just the highlights of it. I'm glad you wrote an actual letter. This just lets you focus even more on that person, on that relationship, on bringing some closure. But because we're moving to several things, if you can summarize it.
No, I don't think I can make
it. Okay, why don't you just read 3/4 of it, of the paragraphs, okay?
Okay. Hare Krishna. This letter is addressed to my ex-husband. We had a dramatic life together. We were divorced in 92. Can you hear properly? Okay. So, dear Shahid, I hope you are happy wherever you are placed right now. I want all good wishes for you. Today I'm writing to you this letter, things that I would have said to you long before. It's actually by the grace of a great devotee that this came through. The other day he instructed me to write a message to a person in my life who has a great impact on my life. So as we had 35 years together, there are many things to be said, but trying to write that message was like pouring solid ghee out of a bottle. Maybe it's very surprising to you that I now want to express my deep gratitude for you taking the role of being my husband. Because many situations that passed could have given rise to ferocious hatred from my side. But my understanding is that Krishna was using you to show me how the lust, the greed, the anger, my goodness, so much anger you produced, burning your liver and making your hair white, the pride of a person in worldly illusion. Krishna provided me a near study of the madness of a soul who is conditioned to believe that he is the controller. How true is that analogy of adding tamarind to milk and it makes cheese and whey? That was exactly what happened when Krishna appeared on the scene after 8 years of our marriage, like a lightning bolt, totally irresistible, all attractive, making me dance by his flute and following his will.
Every single change of my of the lifestyle was fought ferociously by you. No acceptance. In my mind, I call you Mr. Obstacle. Shall I continue?
Read the last paragraph.
The last.
Mr. Obstacle.
Mr. Obstacle. You were the absolute best husband for me, for without all this I have gone through, I could never be able to understand what I understand today. Thank you very, very much for our 35 years. It was an awakening period for our eternal lives. If my blessings can reach you, you may become fully Krishna conscious and engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service, and thus eternally be very happy and never ever fall down to the material existence again with all its miseries. And if you are already with Lord Chaitanya, then please pray for me and bless me with total loving absorption in Krishna and being able to preach Lord Chaitanya's message. And please forgive me for all offenses that I have committed to your person. Whatever is to be forgiven from my side is forgiven. Please be peaceful and happy. Krishna's love is there for both of us and everybody else. Thank you very, very much.
Govimananda Haribo! Did you notice how in writing this letter, one, it helped you to reflect a little bit more, you know, about the past. It allowed you to see, you know, Krishna's hand involved in the relationship. Just as you said, that some of the difficulties of that relationship help you to be as you are now, allowed you to run faster toward Krishna, to take more shelter, you know, to be more desperate in that sense. And also in writing, perhaps you may have saw how it kind of helped you to even to bring a little more closure, you know, because these sort of relationships, they kind of linger on, you know, with us. And, you know, it's natural. People we've been with, people we've associated with, people who, you know, we've spent important times with, that even when they leave the body, you know, it's never the same. A part of us go, a part of experiences, a part of our life, it also, it leaves, you know, it departs with that person. And sometimes it's good to integrate our consciousness better by reflecting back on some of these relationships and thanking the people or forgiving the people and wishing them well and praying on their behalf. And so, even though you only read part of the letter, but you did all of this, so that was very nice. You didn't say, so, Mr. Obstacle, I'm hoping that you're burning in hell, Yamaraj is giving you all that you deserve. That you'll realize that you made a big mistake by being an obstacle in my life. So, and I pray that Yamaraj gives it to you even more. So, it's very nice. Someone else? Okay, Gokulananda.
Friend of mine, a god sister, Krishna Kanta. Did you know her, Krishna Kanta?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, she had her boy here, who was Sundar in the Gurukul for 3-4 years. She would come every year to see him and be with the devotees. So I met her when she was still a young bhaktin, 19 years old, in Geneva, Switzerland, where I was sent. That was a library party back then, 76. Actually, as a little footnote, you were mentioning how, you know, to live alone is practically a curse, or it can be very, you know, difficult, especially if you die alone. Actually, the morning that she left her body because she had a car accident many years before, and she had suffered a brain aneurysm, a very big trauma to the head, and it took 8 years for it to finally cause her to die, you know? It's like it slowly deteriorated her brain. Anyway, so she died in her sleep, and her husband, Mahidhar, found her in her room in the morning. And he phoned the temple, and by coincidence, I was just there. I picked up the phone, and I could see by his voice there was some major thing that... So I rushed over. They lived a kilometer away, and I was able to see her in her bed. It was a very shocking thing. Anyway, So, but I had a very special, close relationship with her, so I wrote her this letter. Oh, yes, also, the policemen always come, you know, because when he phoned the medical people, but they send the police first, because the police wants to check that there's no, that everything is by natural death, you know. And the police told me as soon as they arrived, a minute after I arrived, and he said, and then two other devotees showed up, and you know, another two, three, four more showed up within half an hour. So there was like half a dozen of us there, because they only lived a kilometer from the temple. And the police said, you know, he does this as a regular thing, part of his job. He shows up where people have died, and he says 3 times out of 4 people are alone. They died alone. And he said that with a bit of sadness. He said, you know. And he says, you people are really supportive, eh? You're really together. You're a close-knit community. He says, all of you people have showed up here. Wow. He said, I never see that, you know. They mostly show up at the funeral, but never at the home, you know, whatever. So we had a glorious funeral for Krishnakanta. Well, 300 people were there at the temple on the big grounds there, Vancouver Temple. It was really touching. It was very emotional, but very beautiful. We had a huge procession around the temple, you know, 3 times around. It was really, really glorious. We all made a motorcade to the funeral or the cemetery where she was cremated. And we actually all took part in the cremation. Actually, it was the final departure. And it was really... Anyway, so a letter to my god sister, Krishnakanta Prabhu. Please accept my obeisances at your feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. As I prolong my pilgrimage here in the holy dham of Mayapur, I am feeling so much blessed and fortunate to have the enlivening association of so many good souls. And all this mercy has also reminded me of your good association. You were a regular participant in this Gorpurni Mahotsava and would always return to us with renewed enthusiasm and appreciation for the Vaishnavas. That was always one of your shining qualities, your unabashed glorification of so many devotees. You also would come back loaded with so much new nectar. She would buy tons of books and every new CD, you know, classes and everything. You shared with me a very special affection as brother and sister, and you've always been a first-class example of a sincere servant of Srila Prabhupada and of the Vaishnavas. And I'm fond of remembering all the kindness you offered me, and I want to thank you again. Anyway, for all your love and kindness, I'm sorely missing you. I'm sorely missing your enthusiastic association. Yet I gain solace in knowing that Lord Krishna takes good care of his own. Perhaps by the Lord's immeasurable mercy, I'll be allowed to serve him in your sincere association again. With all my love and gratitude, I remain your servant and affectionate godbrother, Gopalan.
Jai, Krishna Kadas Ki. So this is very wonderful as we can, you know, reflect on some of these special devotees we had a chance to associate with. And to be a part, you know, of their going home ceremonies. And it's good as we allow them to live on through us. Some cases they've gone back to the spiritual world. Other cases they've taken birth in better situations where they can continue, you know, their spiritual life. Too many times we've seen in the past that we kind of take each other for granted, and then when somebody leaves, we start thinking about how that person was so wonderful, and we miss thinking, well, yeah, we're going to miss all of this relationship to this person. So every day we should be looking closer at the good qualities of each devotee that we associate with, and realizing that if they left or we left, we wouldn't have a chance to experience, you know, those qualities that they add, something very special to the environment. So this is, of course, one of the benefits of this sort of class at a time that we are seeing more people make their transitions, that we do hone in to having more quality associations. Being able to say those things to people while they're still, you know, in the physical. My mother and father have both passed some time ago. My mother was quite a very interesting spiritual lady. I never remember one day passing by that she wasn't talking about God. Every day, she was always, it was her particular mood. But she had this little saying, "Give me my flowers, you know, while I'm still living." And she particularly told us how to honor her funeral. My mother was a very strong lady like that. She says, "I don't want any body wearing dark clothes. I want everyone to be in white. I don't want any sad songs. I don't want anybody boohooing." It says, you boohoo about your own issues and problems. He said, "I want it to be a celebration," like that. And she was so, you know, so meticulous. She designed, you know, who would make what speech and who would do this and who would do that. And I was, you know, the youngest in the family. She wanted me to give, you know, a speech for the children. She had another one to give the speech for the grandchildren, another one to give for the great-grandchildren. And she even, one day I came in from preaching, I think in Europe, and I was doing a TV program in the area. So I spent 1 or 2 days, my mother coming to visit me in some of the programs. She was very unusual. I would give a lecture, and then after I would speak, then she would give commentary. So whenever we were together, after I give a class, then the devotees would look around at my mother, and she would, you know, she would explain something. You know, that was her nature. So she kind of shocked me once. Is that one day I came in, and she said, "Let's go for a walk." And so it was a couple of blocks from us, you know, was the funeral home. And so she stopped in front of the funeral home, and I thought, "What are we doing?" She said, "Come on, let's go in." Then we went in, and she picked out her casket. And so this is just an unusual lady. Anyway, I don't know how I got into that. But her thing was giving my flowers while I'm living. So that was her mood. And so I think about that sometimes, is that we need to really tell people how much we care about them, appreciate them, give them the gifts, and not after they're gone. And then we say all these, then we bring them big flowers, and we do like that. So as Gokulnanda was saying, how this policeman was surprised. Most people, they die alone. Because even sometimes when someone is leaving the body, close people don't want to be around. They're in denial, or they're too hurt to deal with it, or even too angry that this person is going to leave them. But we find a devotee is going to leave the body. We drop everything, and we rush there to hopefully to be there before they make the actual passing, so we can give whatever love and whatever prayers, whatever support there to just engulf them, you know, in the holy name of such. Okay, one last person can read the letter. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dear Siddha Chit Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories.
He's passed on.
Yeah. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all the sincere Vaishnavas of the Lord. It's been a month now since you've left your body, and I am here in Mayapur. You were the first one to bring me here. Thank you for showing me the way. Meeting you changed my life. You had such a big impact on me. Thank you for training me up. Thank you for tolerating me and putting up with all my offenses. You changed all of us. All your students have now become something great. Catherine and Bobsy are now opening up a second vegetarian restaurant in Hong Kong. Neil is becoming a yoga teacher. Oliver is just beginning to take spiritual life more serious. You preach to all of us so expertly, knowing exactly how much to give. I would like to take this opportunity to ask you for forgiveness. I did not collect your ashes this time, but I will go to Vrindavan in October and try to arrange something. Please forgive me for not staying in closer contact. I really wanted to help you with Lakshmi, but I was advised otherwise. This doesn't mean that I am not grateful for all that you taught me. You will always have a place in my heart, as you are a wonderful, selfless, devoted soul. Please wish me well as I start my devotional life with my husband. May you forgive me for all my offenses. May we both move on to higher states of consciousness and meet in the spiritual world, serving our dear most supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Your most grateful friend, Sudevi Sundari.
How did that feel? Yes. Because here's someone who has been brought into Dr. Guru's, brought us into Krishna consciousness. We have gratitude for them helping us in this way. They've done something extremely special. Person, in this case, has just recently left their body. And so here she had a chance to reflect and to say something that she would like that person to be able to hear. And, you know, maybe he heard it. You know? Krishna's in your heart, he's in that person's heart, that devotee's heart. And as we know, prayers are very powerful. Thoughts are very powerful. Our wishes and our appreciations are extremely powerful. Okay, I saw several other hands. I'm gonna take one more. Artik, you want to go in? Okay. Then I have one last exercise, and then we'll end the course.
I feel like it's kind of special because I didn't even realize when I was writing this, but today is actually like 3 years, the exact day that she left my mom. So, dear mom, Hare Krishna spirit soul, how are you these days? I figured it's time to write you since it's been about 3 years from my last letter. I've been missing you and just wanted to thank you for being my original guru. You taught me about Krishna consciousness while in your womb, at my birth, and for the 2 years that we lived in Hawaii together, going to the Oahu Panchatattva temple. Also, you encouraged me to go back to the temple when at 17 years old, I decided to visit Hawaii again. You led me to join. You were so prepared for your death. After your stroke, you always discussed what the family should do and what should be done if you were to pass away at any time. And you wrote such an explicit will with all details, kind of like your mom. She wanted it a festival. You prepared all your poetry works with your signature for your publishing company. And I also, which many of them were poems about Krishna and the Supreme Lord. And I wanted to also thank you for the beautiful Indian hand painting of an Indian woman dressed in Vedic attire, cradling a baby, drawn on a banyan leaf. I was so amazed to find it in your file entitled For Aurora Bliss at My Death. I got the impression you were telling me you wanted to come as my baby in your next life. You are amazing. Oh. You are the first person I knew closely that left their body, and to see you your lifeless body taught me so much. You are amazing how you left so many goals to accomplish, such as printing your books and poetry, and the spiritual retreat you wanted with a Krishna temple built in the rocks of Dad's 20-acre plot in Montana. I see you here and there in my dreams, and I pray you are in a good place right now. I love you always, and I'm striving in Krishna consciousness for both of us. Love you always, Artik.
Didn't it feel like you were talking directly to her? Yes, that's good. Okay, the last exercise, we're going to kind of divide the room up in a little bit. Since a lot of you don't know each other, this exercise is going to be a little difficult. Okay, what we're going to do, let's see. All the devotees who know Lisa Yugala Akashora, raise your hand. Okay, if you know him. Okay. Translate for me. Devotees who know Yugala, raise your hand. Okay, so this works out nice, the Russian devotees. Okay, so the Russian devotees are going to stay in that corner. All right. Let's see. Where's Madhava? No. Matsya, you go in this corner. Just sit in the corner right over there. All the devotees who know Matsya Avatar, raise your hand. Okay. Those devotees who know him, go over here. Yugala, stay where you are. Okay. Go around him. Make a circle around him. Know him a little bit, okay? No, wait. Okay, just stay right there for a minute. Okay, all the devotees who know the Divyambar, who are not already in a group, okay, just come around her. Okay, no, you're going to just stay there. Now, all the devotees who know Gaur Sankirtan. Okay, good. You're already in the corner there. Ananda Vrindavan, I want you to go around him. Okay, you're in this corner. Okay. Okay, and the other devotees, I want everybody sitting down, okay, for a minute. Okay, the other devotees, after I explain what we're going to do, you just choose one of the groups and you go in that group. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'll explain it and you can join. You can join here. Maybe we divide up first. Let's have two of you come over here. Okay? We need some men on this side. Okay, if you come over here, this group. Okay? Yourselves, I'll be a part of this group. Okay? Just come up a little closer. And Mother, why don't you come? Let's join here. You don't know her? You know Divyambar. Okay. And okay, two mothers, you just turn around in this group. Okay. Now, this is what we're going to do. The devotee's name who I called has left their bodies. Okay. All right. Now, first, this is going to only take about 10 minutes. You're going to take turns sharing some of the good things that this person meant for you, this person meant to the community. All right? So the individual who I said have left their body, and we're going to help you to understand this a little better in a minute. You're going to share different things very briefly and something good that this person brought to you or brought to the community. They have gone and you are sharing some good thing. Okay? After you do that for about 6 minutes or so, then we're going to do a reverse. Now you're going to then share some things that you feel this person could have been about, could have done, to even be even a better devotee. So first side, you're looking at good things that this person meant to you, for you. And then you're going to look at next, you're going to share some things that you feel this person should work on, should improve, you know, could do better. Okay? Now the individual who left their body, you don't say anything. Don't make any response until this exercise is all over. Now, so that you understand that you've left the body, I need a couple of charters. Okay, so those whose head are covered, you just stay in that position until we're finished. Okay, so different devotees, you start sharing something that you are happy about, you feel good about what this person, you know, added to community, what they represented for you. So you just share some of their good qualities now. All right? There's no looking. You know, no, Just keep your head covered, okay? So you start. Different ones share. Next person share. You just as you feel, after somebody else finishes, you know, then you share something, okay? So you start. And in the past, the person is dead, so it's not that Divyan Bar is, Divyan Bar was. Haribol, you have 1 minute more, unless you already finished, 1 minute more of sharing positive things, and then we're going to start sharing things that they need to work on for improvement. If you're finished, now you can start on the things she needs to work on. Yes, now all of you start talking about things that this person needs to improve, or things they could do to be even a better devotee, or if there's some things that they do that bothers you, that is disturbing to you, then you share that. That Gaur Sankirtan used to do this, used to do that. Yuga Kishore is a wonderful devotee, but he needs to do work on this, work on that. Divyan Bar Darcy, she has so many nice qualities, but there was this other issues that was going on, this thing, that thing that she needs to work on. Or she could be even better devotee if she was doing this. Okay? Matsya Avatar is nice devotee, but he needs to work in this area, that area. Okay? If he could have done this, he could have been even a better devotee. Okay, just share that for now, for a few minutes. While at the same time, those who are being called out, keep your head covered over with your charter. No peeping. Only 2 minutes more, so you have to share quickly. Okay, 30 seconds more. Last chance to wrap up. Last chance to tell them. Okay? 30 seconds, that's all. Okay, time is up, time is up. Okay. Now you'll be the Mitta Sanjeevani. We're bringing you back to life. Rise. Welcome back. Okay, now, we need to do this real quick. I'd like each of the devotees who have been brought back to life to just share with us very briefly there was any realizations, any impressions, anything they'd like to share about that experience. Okay, so Matsya, you share first. There you were, having left the body, and you're listening to some people say some interesting things about you and some things that they were a little uncomfortable with. So how did you feel about that whole experience?
It was very interesting. I guess in the group, one person knew me very well, and maybe two people knew me somewhat, and the rest just kind of met me in the last, you know, 1 or 2 days. So some of them didn't know me at all, so it was a bit of a mixed thing. And I found that the devotee who knew me very well, as I was listening, it seemed like a case of ati-stuti, over-glorification. You know, I was listening, I was thinking, hey, that doesn't really match me, you know. And it was interesting to, you know, to hear the thoughts also. Some funny things about how I was too much of a sloppy person in my dressing and things like that. Didn't care for the externals too much. It's very interesting being under a chatter, because it gave you the impression you couldn't see who was speaking. It was like you were disembodied and you just got to hear all these voices. You know, it felt a bit like being dead, you know, in like locked up in a coffin or something. You could still hear. Yeah, that was it.
Matsya Avatar ki! So here you know, you heard voices, you heard what people, some of their expressions. Some things people say may seem like an oral glorification. Devotees are humble. Some things that people may say that we need to work on may seem like excessive, may seem like, you know, maybe it's their own issue. Or maybe we heard some things that people would normally tell us, you know, so easily. Some things to reflect on. But it's interesting how you were there but not there. You're there physically, but because you couldn't see and you were being talked about as if you weren't there, as if you were gone, it has an interesting kind of impact. be nice if many of us could have had this opportunity, but we don't have time for that. But we wanted a few of you to have that experience. Divine Bar, you can share.
Thank you. It is a very rewarding exercise, and I can only be sorry that the people in my group hardly knew me. And especially for the second part of the exercise, I feel I didn't get enough. One realization is that perhaps I have to broaden my circle of associates and give more time to devotees, from a different type of devotees, not just the ones that I like. Yeah, it's difficult because I really, we hardly know each other. But it's a wonderful exercise which I would like to get more often, to be exposed to more often. Thank you.
You got to get the maximum effects of this exercise. We would normally do it in an environment where, you know, devotees have been in the course all together each day. And also, even more important, where devotees have been, you know, living together, associating. Usually devotees in the same community where many devotees know that person rather extensively, good and some habits that need to be improved. So then the sharing becomes more personal, more direct, more intense, and more helpful also. But still, you can get some glimpse of the experience. Gaur Sankirtan, I think most of the people in your circle, you know, they actually knew you. So let's see your realization.
Yes. It was very, very much learning experience for me, and I'm thankful for all devotees for all that they say. It was very personal since most of them knew me more closely, and it made me, when I was listening, it made me thoughtful to think more about these things, special negative things that they saw, and most of them are, I find it really is things that I have to work on, like my rounds and mode of goodness and things like this, to be more responsible. It was very nice, and it was interesting because, like you say, you are there, but it's like you're not there because you're not supposed to say something or anything to react on what you heard about you. And it was nice.
Because being there or not there, you know, if you're just there, looking, hearing, seeing everything,
yeah,
then you're thinking, oh, how can you say that about me? Or you're blushing and they see you blushing. They couldn't see you, you couldn't see them. And so you were aware, but somewhat at a distance also. Gaur Sankirtan Das Ki. He mentioned some of them, that he should chant his rounds better, should be more in the mode of goodness. Yeah, he mentioned some of the things that were brought up. Okay, you go to Kishore. But you can translate.
Интересно себя чувствовать в таком качестве, когда ты умер, и люди говорят о тебе, но я тоже понял, что люди склонны говорить только лишь хорошее, когда человек умирает, и им более сложно найти какие-то негативные вещи. И то, что я слышал хорошее о себе, я понимал, что это всего лишь некое отражение качеств моего гуру Махараджа, потому что на самом деле сам бы я никогда не смог сделать такие вещи, о которых говорилось. И
it was very interesting experience for me, and mostly people said only good things about me, but I understand that all these good qualities that I have, it's only a reflection of the good qualities of my Guru Maharaj.
И мне понравилось, что все говорили с юмором, я так хотел, что если бы я умер, чтобы все об этом говорили с юмором.
And I also like that people were speaking about me with humor. And I really want that when I leave my body, I would like everybody to speak about me with humor, with joking.
Не хотелось бы, чтобы это было мрачное зрелище.
I don't want that it would be some gloomy. People were very sad and gloomy. I don't want people to be like that.
Но потом все делали вид, что не могут найти плохих качеств.
And then people just pretend that they could not find any bad qualities.
Но на самом деле, когда они немного подумали.
But then they thought a little bit and managed to find something.
То мне было полезно услышать об этом, потому что на самом деле это была как обратная связь. Я часто думал об этом.
And but I think it was really useful for me to listen to them because you know it was just like connection. Как back connection, you know.
Я очень благодарен, что мне дали такие наставления относительно более чуткого отношения к преданным и более.
And they gave me some instructions to become more attentive to the people, to the devotees who are around me, and I'm really grateful to my group for these instructions, advice.
И большое спасибо за то, что указали на то, что я не просто должен помогать, когда меня просят, а сам просить о том, что можно сделать для преданных.
And, just one more particular point, I'm very grateful that people pointed that I should ask how can I help people and I should not wait when people ask me for help.
Okay, so we want to thank all of you for coming for this course. So the last exercise is kind of takes us back to the beginning of the course, that we talked about the importance of being more mindful, the importance of really looking close at what this life means, really trying to go deeper in our relationships, to be more authentic in our associations, you know, with others, realizing that in some cases we're not going to have constant chances. That so many people who we know who've already left, they didn't expect they were going to leave then, or there were things that were lingering that needed to sometimes be given attention to. When you look at different times in passing, you can see that there's messages you want to send to people. There were issues that needed to be given more attention to. Some cases, some things we're putting too much attention into. Those who heard some devotees share something, we realize that we're all impacting on somebody else, that everyone has their different kinds of needs, everyone has their perceptions, and while we're about doing whatever we have to do, we should always be trying to get more feedback to see how we're doing, how we can serve better. So we want to be the servants of the servants. And we want to act in such a way, as I mentioned this morning on the stage, that we do our work nicely, but we want to do it in a way that it inspires others also. We want to avoid going into Maya, because then we are putting that into the environment and people are going to be affected by it in different ways. We want to have good examples, so when we do leave this body, people will say how much he or she helped me in my Krishna consciousness, how much he or she gave me more faith, how much that person was a good example of devotional service in practice. We want people to be overwhelmed by how we try to represent our guru, how we try to be a good sadhu. And so as we are collectively trying to improve more in our own lives, then we will have these things happen when we do leave the body. People will be overwhelmed at what we meant to them. People will be so thankful that they knew us. And even once we're gone, what we did, what we left behind, the legacy we left behind, will still have, you know, such an impact. So most people don't get the second chance or third chance or fourth chance as we did in this course. You know, we got like about four chances, in some cases almost five. We're still around. We're still in these bodies. We're still having a chance to interact. We're still having a chance to improve in some areas. We're still having a chance to say those special things, you know, to those special people. So keep this in mind. And, you know, take this as one of the things that you take with you from the festival, is that we do live to prepare ourselves for successful death. We do live, and that every day we're taking the test, coming closer to, you know, the one we're going to have to depart. We do develop our consciousness based on the people that we associate with. We do mean something to various people, and they mean, you know, various things to us. And we are constantly being invited back by the great acharyas and by the agency of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, you know, herself. She is the mother of devotion. And so she's making all kind of arrangements for us to be reclaimed. Lord Nityananda is making all types of arrangements. But the living entities work overtime in trying to avoid the obvious. So each day, let us try less and less to be mechanical. As I mentioned how I used to write, till the day is the last day of my life, as a way to, again, make more reflection on what am I doing, what is the quality of what I'm doing, what needs to be changed. So in the discussions, you had a chance to reflect on other people who've passed, you had a chance to consider yourself passing, you had a chance to say something once again to someone who's already gone, you had a chance to send a message to somebody, given that you would be leaving, you had a chance to look at what you would like to have said and thought about you if you and when you did go. Now, final remarks is that what things do we need to put in place so that in all of those areas it will be something auspicious? What do we need to put in place so people will say things even beyond what we thought, how they felt about us? What things we need to put in place so some of those who are gone, we still can send them something to bring closure to the relationship in a healthy way? What things we need to do that when we leave, that we will not have lingering kind of stuff that wasn't, see, finalized? And how many people we're dealing with now that we don't give the sufficient appreciation to them while we have the chance? So be mindful, have quality relationships, and realize that the exercises we did now in the last few days, they're going to be a reality for us, you know, in the near future. Dear people passing on, ourselves passing on, and then some conclusion based on the quality of our consciousness, and then some kind of legacy that's left behind after we or someone else is gone. So we got our fifth chance, so live with it and realize how fortunate we are that we haven't left this body and we haven't are not in a situation where we can't make a difference or change something that needs to be fixed. You're all good students. It's a little difficult because each day a different combination of devotees. And so this kind of class who usually would want to carry certain themes and carry the people through as you go through some general transformation, each experience. But still, we try to teach it in such a way that even if you did come the first day or you came only one day, that you're able to, you know, to take something with you. So there's very important programs going on tonight. And one of the programs is a program about the Moscow temple. Some of our Russian devotees are here, and I'm supposed to be a part of that also. So let us go and join. Forgive us for taking you away from part of the festival, but because of the need for us not to have the program yesterday, we had to take the extra day today. Thank you all very much. Done. ISKCON found a chart of Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Panchatattva ki.